The controversy over the prescribing of antidepressants to children was the focus of a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday. Lawmakers said doctors and parents ended up with a rosy and misleading picture of the drugs. They said it happened because of the drug industry's tight control over scientific information about its products and an often passive federal regulator. NPR's Snigdha Prakash reports.
In a hearing room jam-packed with industry executives, lobbyists, and reporters, lawmakers recited a few basic facts. Millions of American children take Prozac-like antidepressants each year. Apart from Prozac itself, none of these drugs has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration for use in children. And doctors have learned recently that many studies suggest these drugs may actually raise the risk of suicidal thought and behavior in children.
So it's time to ask the tough questions. Are America's kids being prescribed drugs for depression that are no better than sugar pills, yet may nearly double their risk of suicidal behavior and thought?
Republican Greg Walden of Oregon is a member of the Oversight and Investigations Subcommittee of the House Energy and Commerce Committee.
Are the companies who sell these drugs adequately disclosing the results of their trials in ways that allow parents and physicians to get all of the facts?
By the end of the day, it was clear that many lawmakers from both parties have come to believe the answer to that question is no. Here's one of many reasons why. It turns out that between 1999 and 2001, the drug company Pfizer conducted two studies to test its drug Zoloft in depressed children. Neither study showed the drug worked, and in 2002, the FDA refused to approve Zoloft for children. Pfizer didn't tell the public that, even though Zoloft had become a popular drug for childhood depression, nor did the FDA, because they deemed the studies proprietary. The picture was to get even murkier. The following year, Pfizer published what it touted as the largest positive study of antidepressants in children. It was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. That's one of the most influential medical journals. Surprisingly, the paper was based on data from the two unsuccessful studies. Here's Greg Walden again, quizzing Pfizer's Catherine Clary.
Where I'm confused is if the two individual studies showed no efficacy, how do you arrive at this conclusion that it's the largest positive study?
The paper was about a combined analysis.
But you said earlier the independent study showed it really didn't have an efficacy in pediatric MDD, right? The two studies on their own.
There was not a statistical difference.
Congressman Henry Waxman, the California Democrat, asked the FDA's acting deputy commissioner for operations, Janet Woodcock, why the FDA didn't speak out when the misleading study was published.
When manufacturers choose to publish only the positive studies and to withhold the negative studies, or worse, to portray negative studies as if they were positive, and FDA knows about the missing or distorted data, does FDA have any responsibility to the medical community?
We have long tried to deal with this issue, and this is a conundrum for the agency because it's often difficult for us to explain our actions to the public when we are constrained from revealing the data.
Waxman and Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey will soon propose legislation to solve that conundrum. Their bill would require drug makers to describe all clinical trials in a federal database before the trials begin, so it's hard to hide them if they turn out badly. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.